found myself getting real disturbed at times while I'd be in my room seeking God and pressing in to understand. Whereas I'd be pressed in for days and days, and anybody with any reasonable understanding knows you just can't keep on and keep on and keep on. But I would press in until I'd get to the point to where I would be forced to let up. And it would just aggravate me so much. And I think, Lord, it's just sweet as honey right now. And I got to let up. But it's my nerves won't take it any longer. My body won't take it any longer. And I've got to let up. And it just tear me up because I didn't want to let up. And sometimes I press beyond that point so many hours. And then God would give me a vision or something and tell me I have to let up. And it just aggravate me, you know. It just tear me up because I love the things of God. I could get in there and just not come back. You know, you take a trip and you just don't want to come back. Well, I could just get in there and not come back like Enoch. I just keep on going. I find so much wonderful, wonderful interest in God's great things. But he always reminds me, you know, that I have to come back. I remember one night I'd been talking to the Lord for a number of nights, night after night, and I was real weary. It was way over in the morning, I guess 3 or 4 o'clock. And while I was talking to the Lord, I went into a trance like, and I felt him walk up behind me, and he put his hand on my shoulder like that. And I remember in the great compassion, he came up and he put his hands on me, and his presence spoke to me the way that it does with that interwoven speech. And I heard his presence, you know, as it conveyed to me, son, I understand because I've been there. And I have compassion for you. And I'm pleased with you. And it just tore me up, you know. But I realize that we need to do something for God. I tell my wife, I told her, was it last night or yesterday? I said, Betty, I said, you got to get up from here and I got to get up from here. We got to do something for God. That's all there is to it. We got to do something for God. I believe I was telling Brother Mitch yesterday, I said, Mitch, we got to do something for God. Folks, we got to do something for God. We can't keep on just playing around the way we're playing around. We've got to do something for God. And it's a great weight on me. It's a great pressure on me. And I want to do something for God. The islands are pulling at me, and the South America's pulling at me, and India and Africa's pulling at me, and heaven is pulling at me, and you're pulling at me, and finance is pulling at me, and meeting the needs, and prayer life, and being fit in the kingdom of God, and seeking God, and just, I tell you, it's just something. I don't know how to express it. Just only God can survive when these things start. So, I was just thinking, Danny last night in his vision was telling me that he saw David Paul make the rapture and name some of them, and Brother Joe Gonzalez was one of them. He said that, as far as you could tell, Joe made the rapture. But I really would like to do something for Jesus. I want to read some tonight from the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, the first verse. If you got your Bibles, you can read along with me. And I'd like for you to press in. If you're not pressing in for God, I'd like for you to press in for God. Just ask yourself this question. What can I do for God? Who can I invite to the house of God? Who can I talk to about Jesus? What can I do to help the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can I do? There is something that we can do. If we are willing to do it, we can do it. God will make a way. I'm going to tell you something. I've told you this over and over, and I keep warning you that, and I know some of them's missing tonight, but you that are here can hear me. You may lay up treasures. You may have plans for your business. You may have plans for your loved ones, and you may have plans for your life, but you better remember that your life may not be as long as you think it is. Your plans may not be anything at all in the sight of God as far as your natural doings. You better make some plans for God. Take me at my word tonight and understand what I'm saying. Make some plans for God. You know, if you want to live a long time, make some plans for God. And when you make plans in this world, you can live a long time in this world and enjoy your labor. And then in the world to come, Enjoy your labor. But when you start making plans about the money and what you want and what you want to do and who you want to be and what you want people to think about you, you're all mixed up and all messed up in life, and you're not going to do anything except run into the thorns and into the briars. 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, reading from the first verse. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have sent thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We use the terms a lot of times, O watchman, what of the night? It is a true fact that God has set us as watchmen upon the walls. Being a minister, I'm set here as a watchman upon the wall. Each person that God has called to the ministry is set as a watchman upon the wall, and he must sound the trumpet if there is any kind of disturbances or any kind of danger or anything that starts approaching the people. Then this watchman is compelled of God to sound the warning. If he does not sound the warning of the trumpet, then the Bible teaches that the person that is under the sound of that trumpet, that person will perish in their iniquity. And then he said, if that person die in their sins, then his blood will I require at your hands. Now look. You listen to me tonight, folks. God doesn't play games. When God says, I will require his blood at your hand because you did not warn him, you can be sure that in the day of the judgment, God is going to keep his word, and God is going to require that man's blood at your hand. He's going to require that man's blood at your hand. Now, we might think that we can get away with it, and we might do as Pilate did and try to wash the blood off. But God, in the day of judgment, if he has set you as a watchman upon the wall, he is going to require humanity's blood at your hand. Every person that perished, God is going to require it at your hand. And the Bible says that all of the blood from righteous Abel all the way down to Calvary, or down to the consummation of the world, all of that blood will be upon you. But if we warn the person, if you and I stand up for God, and if we warn the person, if we sound the trumpet, then God will not require that individual's blood at our hand. Why should God require blood at my hand when I've done all I can to deliver the people? You know, men of old, ministers of old, they believe this thing I'm talking about. Did you know that? You take Paul the Apostle, when he read the book of Ezekiel, or when he heard this great thing read in the synagogue concerning Moses, where God said, I have made thee a watchman, and I will require the blood at your hand. Paul believed that. It's evident that Paul did believe it, because on one occasion as Paul preached to them and they wouldn't listen to him, Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. I have warned you. I've delivered the blood from my hand. See, he knew that God would require that blood at his hand. That's why that I'm under such pressure Paul said, I am debtor to all men. I am debtor to the Greek, to the barbarian, and all of them, to preach the gospel to them as much as lieth within me. And that pressure is upon me day and night. I had a vision one time where there was blood on my hands. And I couldn't understand, and I thought, Lord, what is this? And then the Lord spoke to my heart, and I knew that the blood of humanity was on my hands until I washed it off by the washing of the water of regeneration in preaching the gospel to those that are without. And so then I have tried since that time to diligently preach the gospel, because I do not want to go to the judgment and stand there before God, and God will say to me, George, let me see your hands. And when I put out my hands, He'll say, there's blood on your hands. I don't want to do that. I want to stand before God, and I want Him to look at me, and I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I have made thee ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord that was prepared for thee from the foundation of the world. That's what I want to hear. I know that the only way that I can hear that is to please Him. I've got to please Him. I've got to do everything I can to please God. I come here and I preach to you, and there's one thing for sure. I don't want to weary you. I don't want to cause you problems. I don't come here to weary you or to try to tire you out. Just to take up your time. I don't come here for that purpose. I come here because my heart is heavy. And I want to tell you about Jesus. And I want to deliver my soul. And I want to say something that will bring you salvation, bring healing to your body, and bring you deliverance in your mind, and something that will strengthen you and build you up into a greater man or woman for God. I come here for that purpose. I don't spend my time just idling my time away, just whiling my time away. I try my very best to think of something that's right and to understand something that's right and to always be diligent in the things that I say. But I am set as a watchman on the wall to tell you about Jesus and to tell you about the glorious things of God. And I see danger coming. I tell you tonight, I see danger coming. There's a lot of danger that's coming for humanity, and it's all around us. And I see this danger coming, and I am praying to God that God will help me to understand, that I will know how to warn you. But I see this great danger coming, and I know that there's problems. I know that there's problems ahead, and I need the understanding of God that I might warn the people, not only here at Bethlehem, but across the nation, wherever my voice goes, by radio, or whether I go in person or whatever it might be. I need God's understanding to warn the people. I received a letter from KASA, Phoenix City, Arizona, the other day, and the man said, Brother Pike, or the person said, I listen to your program every day out in Arizona. I listen to you. And I believe that you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my conviction that if we stand for God, if we try to do something for God, the Lord will reward us with souls. You know, the Bible said, ask of me the heathens and I will give them to thee for an inheritance. And did you know that every person that we win to God is a jewel in our crown of life? And God said, I will give them to you for an inheritance. Now, have you ever asked God to give you the heathens? Oh, I prayed to heaven and I said, oh God, give me the heathens for my inheritance. I prayed so many times and I'd say, God, give me a world outreach. Give me those heathens for my inheritance, oh Lord. Help me to reach them. That's why we write songs like the faraway fields, those voices that keep on calling. See, I want to reach the world for God. I don't want to just reach Bethlehem for God or Monroe for God. I believe we're reaching Monroe. I know that Monroe hears our voice. There's the big gun of Dixie screaming out every day, 5 days a week. It's screaming out. And we're preaching the gospel every day of the week, 5 days a week. It's hurled into Monroe and around the Atlanta area and into hundreds of thousands of homes around the different parts of the nation. And I know that Monroe hears. As a matter of fact, I made mention here a while back about the sheriff and the lawyer and the banker and the different ones that say that they're watching us on TV. And I believe it was yesterday that Michael, the lawyer, came out yesterday to my house to visit with me. We talked about Jesus and the wonderful things of Jesus. You could tell that he likes to number himself with us. You could just tell the way he talks. He likes to be with us. And he was talking about giving us an interview for TV that he might give his testimony, what he thought about Jesus, you know. And said that he would do all the work of the church here as far as the law is concerned and not charge us one penny, that he'd be the church's lawyer. See, we're reaching people in Monroe, but what I want to do is reach the world for Jesus. Glory to God, I want a compassion for souls. I want to be concerned, like Brother Walker said, I have sheep that's not of this fold, and them I will also bring. I want to reach God's people. I want to reach people for God around the world. It is my burning desire and compassion to be energized with the energy and the power and the mind and strength of Christ, that I might go forth in the name of Jesus and do something for God. My soul is bubbling with the enthusiasm of Christ. My very being is lit up and illuminated with a desire for God and a zeal for God to be able to go out into the foreign fields and do something for Jesus. Not only there, but throughout America. I'm trying my best through the printed page and whatever means that God has given me. I'm trying to reach lost souls for God. And I said, well, Brother Pike, you should be satisfied you're reaching somebody for God. But look how few that we're reaching for God. And look how many there is in the world. And look at the commission when God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, he didn't just say go into part of the world or reach some of the people, but he said all of the world, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we want to do, is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think about Jamaica. Brother Walker and I was talking today. And I think about Jamaica. And I was thinking today how wonderful it would be if we could go into Jamaica and really have a move of God until we shook the entire Jamaican island for God. We can do it if we try. Shake the island for God. Look what communism is doing. If communism can do that, then we can do something for God. If communistic powers can cause the problems that they're causing and become interwoven with the minds of the people and take over the way that they're doing it, look what we could do for God. People are looking for some way of escape. Hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people around the world are looking for some means of escape. And you and I, we are the open door to them. And if we don't go, then that means they don't have an entrance into the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? If somebody doesn't go to the heathen, then how are they going to learn about Jesus? Who's going to tell them about Jesus? The prophet, back in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came, spoke to the prophet. And the Lord said, who will go for me? And the prophet spoke back and said, here am I, send me. How many of us tonight have that testimony? You know, we say, Lord, here am I, send me, if it doesn't require a whole lot. Isn't that right? If it doesn't disturb our billfold very much, if it don't take anything that we want to give to the creditors, and if it doesn't take anything away from us keeping our prestige, and if it doesn't take anything away from home front, or our little plans to go out on Sunday, or wherever we go, or visiting, or vacationing, whatever, then we say, here am I, send me, Lord. Isn't that right? But if it's going to take away from our own personal endeavors and ambitions of life, then we're not too interested in God sending us. One thing I've learned, and God is not going to send you on the grounds of your own desire. Your human ambition is not going to be profitable to God. The first thing you're going to have to do is to die. That's the first thing. Die and get yourself out of the way. Then when you're dead, God will use you. But you know, people are too much alive. They're too much alive. You say, Brother Pike, how can God use me if I'm dead? Because he will resurrect you to the newness of life. You know, if you can die out that old carnal mind that's enmity with God, that old personal ambition that's looking for a career in this life, That you that's always looking for something, you know, that's going to make you outstanding. If you can just kill that fellow, bury that fellow, get rid of that fellow, you'll be all right. That person, that old you, that's always got his idea about what the preacher should preach, the way the preacher should preach it, and what the preacher should say about him. You know, the congregation, a lot of times as people, they have their own ideas as to what the preacher should say to them as an individual. And their carnal reasoning is always in the way of the moving of the Spirit. And all day long they reason in their mind when God commanded them not to lean to their own understanding. But their reasoning all day, they reason. All day long they reason. You know, about what God has got for me, what God should have for me, what God should do for me. What is all of this, we say? You know, we should reason like this. What can I do for God? How have I failed God? God, help me to wake up. Help me not to fail you, Jesus. Give me an ambition to do something for somebody and quit always expecting somebody to do something for me. Give me a drive, God. Help me, God. You know, we always have that feeling that somebody ought to do something for us. Isn't that right? But where is the feeling that we ought to do something for somebody? I want to do something for God and for somebody. That's what I want to do. You know, if we take the attitude and the right outlook toward humanity and toward God's kingdom, we can do something for somebody, and we can do something for lost humanity. I'm a watchman. I'm on the wall. I see the danger coming. I must warn the people, not only here at Bethlehem, but around the world. Jesus said all of the world. I must warn the people. I don't mean, as we so often do, just ramble, ramble, go, all the way across the country and here and there and everywhere, not living right, not doing right. I don't mean that kind of thing. I received a letter today from somebody that's way out in another state, and they told me that they'd some memories was there concerning me, and they were going to another place, and they was going there to minister, and I know for a fact that the man hasn't even lined up with God like he needs to line up with God. Just going? I don't mean that kind of thing. Jesus said, first be witnesses for me in Jerusalem. Let's start doing something at Bethlehem first and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you can't be a benefit at Bethlehem, you couldn't do anything over yonder. You just run, spend money and go places and do things and just cause problems everywhere you go. Leave debts and have pay your bills and everything else, and don't leave a testimony for God and don't stand for nothing. Just wishy-washy in and out, up and down and temperamental today and backslid tomorrow in every other kind of way. It's just like I said here a while back, there was a man that was with us that was backslid. And I spoke about it. The man wouldn't confess it, but just the other day, he come and made an open confession. He said that he was backslid, and backslid in the worst kind of way. Preacher, you know what it is? People don't like to acknowledge that they're not following Christ. They go out and they do these awful things. And they do these worldly things after that you warned them and warned them and warned them. And then they know that they've got to make a confession. And they can't bring themselves to do it. And in that they can't, they go on in hypocrisy. And eventually it catches up with them. Somebody, it is revealed to them, and they have to make a confession. I am a watchman. And God, I can hear him tonight say, watchman, what of the night? Watchman on the wall, what of the night? And I have to give him an answer. I have to answer back to God. I have to give him some satisfying answer. What of the night? You know, this is a night that we're living in down here. This is a dark night. We're in the human realms of reasoning. And this is a dark, dark night. And God is in the world of light, the mind of Christ, the understanding up there that's in heaven. And I say that according to your human infirmities. So then I hear God. And God will say, "Watchman, what of the night?" Then I have to answer God. I have to answer him back. You know, I have to give him an answer. "Watchman, what of the night? You're on the wall. What of the night?" Then I have to give him an answer. I see evil coming. I see so much evil coming. As Brother Walker said, this communism moving in over Jamaica. He said that Castro and others are becoming friendly with the leaders of Jamaica. And that communism is moving in. It's obvious to you that have eyes to see that communism is moving into America. Having flown the flag here and all of the things developing the way that they've been developing, it's very obvious that something is taking place and that the darkness is moving in more and more. Gross darkness shall cover the people in the end time. All of this is crowding in. All of this is moving in. But what is Brother Pike doing about it? What are you doing about it, brother, sister? What are you doing about it? You at Little Bethlehem, what are you doing about it? And those others that can hear me, what are you doing about it? See, are we doing anything at all? We hear the voice of the watchman on the wall, but what do we do to help warn the people? Do we stand behind the watchman on the wall? Do we offer any prayer, any means of support? Do we stand behind the gospel? We're too busy. We've got our own thing to do. We've got to do our own thing. And when we get through with all that we're doing, then we're going to do something for God. You know, when we build us a home and when we get us a nice automobile and when we get our children through college and when we get all of these things that we need for convenience of the flesh, then we're going to do something for God. You just wait and see. I'll show you that I'll do something for God, somebody would say. Don't be foolish. In the first place, you're never going to get to the desired place that you're looking for. It's all lying vanities. The government's either going to close in on it, or the leeches is going to close in on it, or somebody's going to close in on it. You're never going to accomplish that purpose. And if you ever get your head above the water, some of your loved ones is going to die, the very thing that you treasure, and you're not going to care about what you're trying to reach anymore. And then besides that, you will be too old and too far down the trail to do anything for God by the time you get through with all of your foolishness. So then you're not going to do anything for God. You're just going to sit around with a will, but no performance. But brethren, the Bible said, "As we have had a will, a mind to do, then have a performance." Why not do something for God right now? Why not make up our minds to do something for God now? Why not stretch out in God? Do something for Christ. Say, now, there is a goal to reach. There is a job to be done. There's something I must do. What can I do for God? You say, "Well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like supporting the gospel. I feel like God wants me to preach." Why don't you go preach? Go on. If you've really got that calling burning in your soul, a team of horses couldn't hold you here. Somebody said, "Brother Pike this and Brother Pike that, and somebody helped me and this hindered me." Why, you liar, you know better than that. Just being a liar proved you wasn't called to preach. They ain't a team of horses, as I said, that could hold you back. When God called me to preach, I began to manipulate you here and cut off here and lay down here and try to turn everything loose. And people begin to criticize and folks begin to say something. But I want you to know that that flame on the inside of my heart was burning in such a way that I didn't care. I said, "I am going to preach the gospel, Betty." I said, "I'm going to preach. I don't care what anybody has to say about it." I said, "I'm going to preach." And I've been preaching ever since. And if you've got the calling to preach the gospel, you will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I tell you this. If you are not called to do that, or if your calling is not to get out there and go with the gospel, then you need to link arms with somebody and get in and do something for Jesus Christ. Be a member of the body of the Lord. First of all, if you're called to preach, go preach. But I tell you this again in the name of the Lord. People who do not pay their bills
People who do not walk upright before God. People who have tempers that's always blowing up. People that can't provide for their own families are not called to the ministry. They're not called. Now, I might sound a little excited, but they're not called. They're not called. I tell you in the name of the Lord, they're not called. I've got Bible to prove they're not called. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that if you have anything going, you set somebody over the matter that's without reproach of them that are without. They must have a good report of them that are without. And then a good report of the brotherhood as well. If they are to carry the gospel or just even be over anything that pertains to God. Now you say, well, you don't think I can do something for God? Maybe you can. I hope you can. If you pass out a tract, if you say a good word, if you do anything, then maybe you will do something for God. But I want to tell you something. If you don't live for God and measure up to the Word of God, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't care how many tracts you pass out. I don't care how many times you testify or how many places you go. You are going to die and go into the flames of a burning pit. You're going to have to live holy, walk upright, be in fellowship with the brethren, and do the things that God has told you to do according to His Word before you go out to preach the gospel. So then, if you're not going to do the first things, there's no need to worry about the second, because all of your labor is in vain. All of it's in vain. Well, you say, I'll decide that for myself, Brother Pike. I know you will. You'll always do that because you're rebellious, stubborn, like an old goat. You're not going to listen. But just like I said, it's like Danny's vision when he looked back and saw some of them standing on the earth. And I kept saying in the vision, I said, I told you, I told you, I told you not to do those things. I told you to listen. But it was too late as the rapture took place and they were left behind. So then, I tell you tonight, let's do something for God. I'm a watchman on the wall tonight. Maybe you're a watchman on the wall tonight. And there are some things that need to be done for God. What are you doing for God? What am I doing for God? I must do something for God. I must do something for God. If you work with me in my TV outreach, or my printed page outreach, or the radio outreach, or a little Bethlehem outreach, whatever, if you work with me in the 10 outreach and in frontier evangelism, I appreciate it. I thank God for you. If you do, I appreciate it. But if you don't, if I have to go by myself with the old piece of junky cars and the old blowout tires that Betty and I used to have to use, we'll still do our little bit for God. Because we have to preach the gospel. We have to do something for God. And I must do something for God. I desire your strength. I desire your fellowship. I desire that you take my hand. And I desire that we can walk together and do something for God. I desire that. And I want you to do it. But I'll tell you one thing, brethren. Excuses will never get the job done. Even you that live on the campground that's always given an excuse why you can't keep your end up in the financial end of it. Whereas you're just providing for your own family, ain't doing nothing just but paying your bills. If you can't do that, I know you can't do nothing for God. It's like this week. I've got $1,000, $900 and something to pay this week that you, some of you brethren, are supposed to pay. Over here on the well at the campground. You're supposed to pay it. But it hasn't been paid. I told the man, I said, by the grace of God this week, I'll pay you. And I will somehow or another, by His grace, God's grace. I can't do it in my own ability, but I will pay it. You watch and see, this week passed by, God being my helper, I'll pay it when you said you couldn't pay it. Half a dozen of you, a dozen of you, you can't pay it, but I will pay it by God's grace. I got many bills to pay. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. This week, need $12,000 just to keep the wheels turning. And the brethren doing all that they can in their strain and in their stress, all that they can, didn't amount to but $2,000 or $3,000 with special effort. But we'll turn the wheels by faith in God. But you have to throw another $1,000 on me because you won't take care of your own families. But let me tell you something, brethren, with all of that, all of the leeches that causes problems, we're going to preach the gospel. And we're going to go forth and do something for God. I'll have that behind me in a little while. This is the last time I've had to go and pay it a number of times and pick it up. But this time will be the last time, and that one will be off of me. Won't be about $300 more over there on the well, not on the pump, but on the well that you haven't paid. I'll pay it somehow or another, and then that'll be behind me. From then on, you'll be on your own. But I'll tell you what, you'll suffer loss for taking it away from God. What you need to do is get in here and be a man and do what you're supposed to do. And quit saying, I can't do this. I know that you can't do it when you work one day a week or 2 days a week or fuss and fume and quit everybody, work a couple of days for this man and quit, and work a couple of days for the other man, then quit. And one day you don't have any work, and always an excuse, a line in the street, always. Years and years of it. Continually, always a line in the street. 1 year it's the same way, the next year it's the same way, the next year it's the same way. The Bible said the slothful man will stick his hands in his bosom and say, I can't go out, there's a lion in the street. And Solomon said, I went by the vineyard of the slothful and the unwise, and his vineyard was all broken down and overgrown with nettles. And I said, yes, just a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, that man's poverty will come as one that's in travail. But brethren, I'll tell you, if you'll be a man, a real, genuine man, and stand up and say, God, I'm not some little boy. I'm not going to play games and make excuses. I'm not just going to try to get up just a bite of bread here and a bite of bread there and just do any old way that I can to get by. But I'm going to be a real man and take care of my family. And I'm going to carry the load and stop all of this foolishness. And you brethren that are on the campground and you that are intermingled with us that can't, you want to pastor the people, you need to get out somewhere and get you a congregation or go somewhere and do something. And quit causing division and causing problems and having somebody come over to your house all the time that's usually a reprobate to cause problems. You need to have enough backbone to stand up and tell them to stay at home. Or you need to move on down the trail somewhere. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know, I picked up a little book that Mitch and them is producing. It's called Hidden Manor. I never realized that it was so strong. Till yesterday, I picked it up, I believe it was yesterday, and there's one article in there called Corruptible Flesh, and God was really pointing out some things. And as I begin to read it, I never realized it was so strong. And maybe some of the things that I say is pretty strong up here. I don't know. To me, they sound just right. When God is moving me and preaching up here, they sound just right. But there's one thing that I do know. The truth is the truth. If I tell you the truth, you need to do something about it. If I'm not telling you the truth, you need to tell me so. But if I tell you the truth, you need to stand up like a man and say, God, the truth has made me free from my laziness, from my lethargy, from my unconcern and my stubbornness and my willfulness to do evil. See, and if I'm not telling the truth, you need to tell me. But you need to get up and be a man and stop that foolishness. You need to stop going in and out God's work like a swing, just one day in and one day out and one day up and one day down. You need to get down to business and get a hold of God and call on the name of Jesus Christ and anchor your roots in God and stop the way that you're doing. Be a man. Stop that old evil devilish temper you've got and that old thing of coming around. You know that some people, they come around, if you just rub them the least bit wrong, they just rise up like an old cat. You've just got to say things just right. Speak to them just right. Got to acknowledge them above everybody. If you don't acknowledge them, why, they'll just puff up and run off and leave. You need to get out of that and be a real human being. Stop your foolishness. The young girls need to quit their flirting around, their playing around, their toying around with boys and men. Get away from devils and demons and lust spirits. Stop doing the foolish way you're doing. Stop it. Be a lady. You get God upset and He won't give you a husband for the next 15 years. He'll let you wander around, desire a husband. And you'll be without companionship. For the next 15 years, you get Him upset with you. Don't be so foolish. And some of you ladies, don't press your husband when I'm trying to tell him the right thing and bring him into the right things of God and trying to tell him the rules and regulations of the campground. Don't you be contrary to it because of your old fleshly desires. Because you may cause him to lose his life, and you may be a widow that don't even have a biscuit to eat. You need to wake up. And you men, don't you hold back your wives and hold back your children when I tell them the right thing. Don't you hold them back. And then start running around after you hold them back and go contrary to me and say, God don't care nothing about you and yours. If you're to listen at me, God cares about them. God cares about them. But if you're contrary to everything I try to tell them, they're going to be a bunch of reprobates and die and go to hell. I told you that years ago. You need to wake up. They're watching you. If you'd get straightened out, they'd get straightened out. Always say, now, Brother Pike, that don't have anything to do with it. Well, why is it the Bible said that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges? Why is it the Bible said that they've hatched off a bunch of cockatrice? See, what you need to do is listen. And another thing, brethren, I say this in closing night because I feel like I'm just getting started to preach. Just now getting started. Well, let me tell you this tonight. The Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. When Moses come down over that mountain, Moses said, the bunch of people down here has played the hypocrite. They've been contrary to God. I've been trying to get something to feed them and something to help them with. And they've been down here playing the hypocrite, mumbling and grumbling against God and against God's ways. I want you to strap your sword on your side, Moses said. And every man that's with me, get over here with me, Moses said. Leave the rest alone and get with me. And strap your sword on your side. And he said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. The Bible said they slew their fellows, they slew their relatives, they slew their neighbors, they slew everybody. Because they said, we're with God. Abraham, can you lay your own flesh and blood on the altar for me? If you can, you can be my disciple. But mister, you don't have time to bury your dead father. Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me. I've got more things to do than take up my time with burying the dead. I love you tonight, and I want to help you tonight. But I've got to do something for God, folks. I've got to have that wonderful blessing of God. And I've got to have God in my life. And I've got to do something for God. God has blessed me, and I must do something for God. I hope that you're willing to do something for God. I trust that you are. I want you to stand with me. You know, we sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I'm reminded so many times when we sing it. And I say, oh, do I love Jesus. Oh, do I love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. My commandment is to love one another. And how can we love one another? Whereas the Bible said, if you see your brother have need and shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? How can I love my neighbor or love anybody abroad if I'm not willing to go out there and seek to save that which is lost? Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. If I don't have a burning compassion and a desire to get out of my own neighborhood, out of my own little family, then I don't have the love of God and I'm not keeping his commandments. Oh, do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? There's people that are here tonight. And these people tonight have heavy hearts. Some of them because their loved ones are going to hell. And they know that their loved ones are going to hell. Some of you tonight that I'm looking at, Danny saw, missed the rapture. I stand and look at you tonight. As my eyes go over the audience, I look at you. And he called your names. That you were left here. When God has to speak to a little child like he did the other night about the closing of the door to the Gentile church and then this little fella about the rapture taking place. Don't you know that's bad when here we are in the congregation of God and we're supposed to be men of God? Why can't God speak to us? Have we gotten so far away that a little child has to lead us? In the days when Jesus came, the people did not have the respect and praise for him that they should have had. And the Bible said the little children began to praise him. And they said, "Be quiet." And Jesus said, "Have you not read in the scripture where it says that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings God hath perfected praise?" Said, "If these should hold their peace," he said, "the very rocks would cry out praise unto God." You know, I hope that the rocks don't have to cry out praise to God because I hold back praise. When Jesus was crucified, the rocks were rent in twain because people held their peace. God just rent the rocks in two. You know, one day he'll get so upset that he'll shake the buildings to the ground. I said the other day I had a vision of the buildings crumbling. And just recently somebody come to me and said that they had an earthquake or had something to where there was a building just crumbled to the ground. Said a huge building, according to the paper, just crumbled to the ground. And right here in North Georgia, not very far away, the other day they had an earthquake. Just a few miles away from Monroe, they had an earthquake. You know, the Bible said in the last days, it was the last days that they would have earthquakes in different places. Divers places, which means different places. The same terms is used, divers colors, in the Old Testament, which means different colors. There shall be earthquakes in different places in the last days. And there is earthquakes. Every sign of the time is showing itself. Every sign of the time is showing itself. It's evident that everywhere the signs of the time are seen. They sing that song, "The signs of the time are everywhere. Look up, thy redemption draweth nigh." I love you tonight, and I don't mean to scream at you, don't mean to scold you. But folks, we just have to have something to jolt us to our senses. The Bible said, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet." And I'm a watchman on the wall. And he said, "If you don't sound the trumpet, I'll require their blood at your hand." Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. People with loved ones here that's going to hell, and they know it and they're grieved. But what are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? What are we doing about it? We say, "Well, Brother Pike, I've done my little bit. I've done my little bit." I'm not speaking in respect of won't, but I see the men come to the men's meeting and they say, "Catch up, catch up." And I think, God, where did they ever get such a word from the Bible, "catch up"? You say, "Well, Brother Pike, they gave so much last week, pledged so much that they..." No, that isn't true. You know better than that. That isn't true. I've watched the ones that do it, and it certainly isn't true. As a matter of fact, the ones that's always given so much always has so much more to give. I've watched that. The ones that get in the rut of the catch-up thing, they just don't hardly do nothing to start with. Some of them did run well, but Paul said, "What hindered you?" You know, and I think of it like this. I think the Bible said, "Bring all of your tithe and all of your offerings into the storehouse of God." There ain't no such thing as a week where there's ketchup. Every week you eat bread, you get a dime somewhere. You get a dollar somewhere. That means that you owe God something every week that comes around. And then I see some of you stay out of men's meeting night after night. And I know why you stay out. You're so afraid that when you get in the midst of those brethren that you're going to get caught up and pledge something to God, and you made up your mind that you just ain't going to do it if you have to stay out of men's meeting. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I say, that ain't it. Yes, it is it. God don't make mistakes, and God don't lie. God will tell on you. That's what it is. You say, "But I'm just too tired." That ain't true. You're not too tired to get up and go to your job. You're not too tired to stay up late at night with your family. You're not too tired to ride here and there and everywhere all day long. Is that more important than God's business and God's house? Is it? No, see, that isn't the problem at all. It's just like I said. You're supposed to have a systematic life with God, a systematic order of life with God, a systematic giving to God, a systematic mind with God. What if the Lord tomorrow morning said to all the people, I'm sorry, I got to catch up. Won't be no sunlight for the next 3 months. I got to catch up. I'm running behind. What would you do for 3 solid months, no sunlight? Or what if God said, sorry, got to catch up. There won't be any food in the fields and stores for the next 3 months. Don't you know you couldn't go that route, could you? And yet the Bible said that there may be meat in my house. Bring the tithe and the offerings into my house, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Some might say, well, I've done that, Brother Pike, and that's why I'm in a tight. Why, you liar. I don't mind saying you're a liar. You are a liar. And the Bible said, lie not against the truth. You lie to the Holy Ghost, and God may strike you down like he did Ananias and Sapphira. Said, bring it into my storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, could we say and see that if I don't let you go hungry? Just prove me and watch me let you go hungry. Just prove me and watch me see that you don't have any work. Just prove me and watch and see that you can't pay your bills because you give to me. You know that don't fit God and that don't fit the Scriptures. He said, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. You'll have to share it with somebody else. That's what it means when it says you can't receive it. I'll give you so much your cup will run over. You'll have to share it with somebody else. You'll have so much it'll spoil on you. You won't know what to do with it. You won't know where to put it. I've just shared a little bit with God, and I got so much stuff I don't know where to put it. Haul it off of the truck loads, and God still sends it in. Don't know what to do with it. Growing bigger all the time, all the way around the world. And I just shared a little bit with him. What if you really shared with God? My, what God would do for you. All right. I'm his witness tonight. I'm a watchman on the wall. There's a right way of life, folks. God knows it and God's telling it to you. But I say this, you do like the rich man. You pull down your barns and build bigger. You make your plans for your business and your family and all the other things. And in one of these days, you'll be sorry. One thing about it, I may go before morning. He may call me, but my barns belong to him. All that I have belongs to him. All that I am belongs to him. All that I'll ever be belongs to him. I hope you feel the same way, or you're standing in the same position tonight. Because, brethren, if you're not, then you never can tell. Something is on the way. I'm a watchman on the wall, and I'm warning you that something is on the way. And I say this again, not warning you that you have to give of your substance, your time, your prayer to little Bethlehem. You do not. There is nothing in the Bible that says you have to come to little Bethlehem, nor give a dime to little Bethlehem, nor pray a prayer for little Bethlehem. But there's one thing about it. There is something that says you've got to go somewhere, and you've got to be somewhere, and you've got to do something for somebody, and you've got to pray a prayer for somebody, and you've got to give your substance somewhere. God said that. And he said it was his storehouse, wherever that's at. And I know that's the church. You may not consider this one to be it, but there is one somewhere. Let's sing a little song together. I appreciate that, brother. Wasn't that Brother Marlowe? I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, brother. I believe I understood that right. He said that he would give $500. Did I hear that right? I tell you what, that really does something to me. It really does something to me. A man just up out of nowhere, a man his age, talking about giving $500. Now, you know, folks, now listen, I didn't come here to take no offering tonight. I didn't even have that on my mind. That was the farthest thing from my mind. And in saying what I said before the living God, I never said that in respect of want to get $1, not one penny tonight. I was fixing to close out. But you know, God must be trying His best to reprove some of us and to shame some of us for what we're doing. He must be, Jim. He must be trying to reprove us over the thing. Why would He have a man that age to speak up and give $500? Well, you say now, well, God didn't do that. The Bible said the preparation of a man's heart is from God. God prepared the man's heart. So it had to be the act of God.